Hey there, welcome back to Intermediate ASP.NET Core. My name is Jeff Fritz.
And I'm John Galloway.
And we're going to talk to you for a little bit about tag helpers in this module. John, we've been hearing a lot about tag helpers. What the heck are tag helpers?
I think tag helpers are great. The cool thing with tag helpers is they kind of get out of your way.
Oh.
So they make it easier for me to write markup, the HTML-looking markup that's doing stuff on my server. And it's very lightweight. Mm. So it kind of almost, you know, it's nice to know about, but for the most part, it just kind of fades into the background. But we'll be showing how you'll be using tag helpers in a file new project. We'll dig into a little bit of writing our own tag helper, which is really easy, actually. And then after we've done that, we'll look at some third-party tag helpers, some things that other developers have written that I can start using. And we'll look at their source code, too.
Cool.
So let's get started. If we can go to my screen, we're going to be working off of the docs. So like everything I'm going to be showing here is in the docs at docs.microsoft.com. So this starts off with, you know, a simple, what is a tag helper? Hopefully this says something pretty similar to what I just explained. Things like this HTML-friendly developer experience, giving me IntelliSense, et cetera. And then it's also going to, we're going to be showing authoring tag helpers. That's written up in here. So if I'm talking too fast or not making sense, you can read the docs and that's going to work well for you. So I'm going to start with Web Application 24. This is literally file new project.
You know, it's so much better than Web Applications 1 through 23.
Those ones, throw them away.
They're garbage.
This is we're going to ship this.
Modern, new. All right.
What I need you to do while I'm talking is if you can register webapplication24.com.edu and .org.
I'm on it.
Because we're going to IPO. So I've gone through and I've done file new project. Literally, that's it. And I did this using, I turned on individual authentication. I did that partly because I want to show off some things that are in the account management system, because this is a great example of where tag helpers can simplify my markup. So I'm gonna be looking in this manage directory to start.
Okay.
So this is stuff for when I've created, you know, I wanna register a new user. So sure. I go into the register page, and you'll see some things in here that have some kind of purple markup. So they look similar to the other things, but here, like this form, if we look at that, that has a, it's kind of purplish. And
it's also bold for anybody who's colorblind, so they can see it as well.
Nice, right? And you can go in and change these too, by
Absolutely.
The way. You can go and set those differently. And as I mouse over this, this shows some things that are different. Like here, this is just HTML, this just says it's a div element. Great.
Yeah.
It's very, you know, very simple. IntelliSense for form actually says this is related to a form. And if I mouse over this ASP route return URL, that actually tells me, you know, like this is a generic iDictionary. And it also explains some things, additional parameters for a route.
I didn't know HTML could handle iDictionaries.
Aha, see? And it can't, right? So that's an important thing that you've called out there, is that these things, this is not the HTML that's going to be rendered out to the browser. So in fact, if I just run this, we'll look at, I guess I can go to register and we could just view source, right?
Sure.
See, and I'm already going off script, but that's just fine. Yes, let's install. So I was going to joke about installing any certificate that requests to install, but that's probably bad advice. In this case, though, it's setting up an SSL certificate and trusting it locally so I can develop against HTTPS, which is cool.
Right. This is a Visual Studio feature that allows us to use SSL.
Yep. So here I'm clicking on register, and this is exactly that same thing I was looking at before. And if I go in and view source, and if we look at that form, we'll find that form is rendered, right?
Yep, there's our nav bar, there's form,
right? So if we zoom in on that, we'll see that form says method post action is account/register.
That's a normal HTML form there.
That's normal. This is straight up HTML, right? But if we flip over to this, you'll see this is what we've got in my Razor code. Right, so method is post, it didn't change that, but this return URL, where this is going to be posted to, that is something that the server ASP.NET looked at this and converted it to action equals slash account slash register.
Okay.
So what's important about that is this, where this form is being posted to could change based on how my routing is set up.
Sure.
Based on if this is, you know, if I'm using the MVC route or if I'm going in and changing my routes, that could vary, right?
Okay.
So other things here, like as we look further down in this, we've got label ASP4 equals input.email. So this is using my input model, and
okay.
We've seen about models in some previous sessions and all that. So this is using my email field on my input model, and it's saying bind to that. If we look at the what we're actually seeing on these, this is saying which control is it even? Data val email.
Is that it on line 53?
53, there you go. So it's input underscore email. Let me zoom on that. So that is here, input underscore email. Or some people say under bar. Either one works, right?
Sure.
So the important thing is, if I change that, I could make a change to that in my model. And again, it's going to figure that out for me. So the nice thing that we're seeing with this is that we're able to write server-side code inside our Razor code, mm-hmm. and we can do it in a way that still is readable here. It's not kind of jumping back and forth.
So that label tag helper you showed us, it says ASP4 input email. So it's looking at that email property, and it's going to figure out what type of label to generate based on that property.
Exactly.
Okay. Yep.
So it's generating HTML based on that. So the important things we've learned so far is that bold purple means it is a tag helper.
Okay.
And that is going to evaluate something on the server and probably change the HTML. And if I see something that's an ASP dash, that is probably not going to be, it's not going to render that on the client. The clients aren't going to see ASP dash, but they're going to possibly see some other HTML that's generated.
Okay.
So we've learned that, and that's interesting. We're looking here at a div tag helper and a form tag helper. There are other tag helpers that don't even match up to anything in HTML.
So those ones were tag helpers that were actually attributes that
yes.
decorated different elements.
Exactly. These are tag helpers that work at a higher level. This is, for instance, an environment tag helper.
So there is no environment tag in HTML5.
Right. And when we run this, if you looked in there, you would not see any of this. There's no HTML output. Well, there kind of is. Here, I guess I need to run it again. So what this is solving for me is when I'm running locally, mm-hmm. I want to pull my CSS from like directly off my file system.
Sure.
When I'm running in production, however, I want to try to pull those files off a CDN. And that includes the CSS here up at the top of the page, and then also way down at the bottom, my JavaScript as well. We've got matching environment tags down there for development and production.
And we learned in our previous module all about the different environments that folks can configure. By default, they get development when they're in Visual Studio. Mm-hmm. If they don't define an environment, they get production. So I'm guessing that second environment tag on 54, where it says exclude development, that's how those CDN references aren't going to be used in Visual Studio.
Exactly.
Okay.
So what this is saying is when I'm running locally, it's going to say, yeah, you're in development, and it's just going to look directly on my file system and pull these in. When I'm running anywhere else, so production, or if I define a staging or test or you know, Jeff's
whatever
fancy environment. Yeah.
I've got fancy environments, let me tell you.
It's going to use these ones.
Okay.
And this is actually a nice feature they just recently included here in the 2.0 release, is this whole include-exclude. That makes it very easy with exclude to say anything except for development, pull these ones in.
Gotcha.
So I don't even need to know up front what they're going to be. I just anything but development.
But I can specify multiple values for that, right?
Exactly. So
okay.
I can up here, I could say include development, comma, you know, testing, whatever it is.
Okay.
Right? So now let's take a look at source for that. And if we look at our CSS, find our CSS references in here.
Oh, there they are right there.
There they are. So you'll see this knows that because we're, you know, it's just using, it's only evaluating the environment tag that's for development.
Right. Okay? So because this is development mode, the development environment, it only included those HTML markup items that were inside the environment tag.
Exactly. So that's that.
Now, those tag helpers, they don't modify anything else on the rest of the page, do they?
So they're generally confined to that area there, right? And one interesting thing here, though, is that they do kind of nest. So you see here we've got an environment tag. Inside the environment tag, I've got a script tag.
Yeah, look at that one in purple.
And this script tag, this is doing something interesting. This is it's modifying by using ASP append version. So what this does is it solves a common problem where you have to version script references. Otherwise, CDNs or browsers will just cache the previous one that I serve. And I can go in and change my JavaScript, and the browser is going to say, oh, I've already got this one cached locally.
So this generates that cache buster token.
Exactly. So and if I go in, let's take a look at that. So it depends. I may not be serving those locally. I'm not even sure. I am.
There it is.
So here, if we look at this, we'll see my site.js has v equals, and it's generated a version number. Right? And that's exactly it. It's a cache bust, right? So if I go in and change that JavaScript, it's going to keep incrementing that. So the important thing we've learned off of that is that these can be nested. Mm-hmm. I can use an environment. I can put inside the other ones, and I can use those to control things.
Okay.
For any of these, if I want to understand what it's doing, I've got both IntelliSense here, and I've also got, if we go back to these docs here, it actually has this whole section here on built-in tag helpers. And it's going to explain, here's the different tag helpers that are included, and here's the different kind of features that are available. So that's pretty cool right off the bat. Now, another thing that's neat is I can actually write my own tag helpers. Before I show that, I want to show one last important gotcha, which is that in order for these tag helpers to become active, they're actually listed in here. So I try to remember, sometimes I forget, but this is where these are actually kind of lit up, right? So this here, this MVC tag helpers, any tag helpers are kind of turned on there. Cool.
So can we look at that view imports one more time?
Yeah.
So you have a star, comma, and then Microsoft ASP.NET Core MVC tag helpers. That's the assembly that they live in.
That's the assembly. Okay. Right? And I've actually recently, I made this mistake where I pulled in a namespace or something else. It's actually the assembly that's important.
So it looks like a normal way that we would reference a type, but by using that wildcard in front of the comma, we're saying, give me all those tag helpers that are in that assembly.
Exactly.
Okay, got it.
So this lights up all the tag helpers in the MVC assembly.
Okay.
Right. So let's go and write our own tag helper, because they're actually relatively easy. I'm going to write a repeat tag helper. And this is a tag helper that is, I can nest markup inside it, and it's just going to repeat it however many times.
Oh, okay.
Not incredibly useful for my production websites, but useful to kind of learn the ins and outs of creating a tag helper.
Sure. Maybe I need to generate just some text to fill page so I can measure things.
Yeah, and you can imagine, you could create like a lorem ipsum tag helper or whatever, right?
Sure.
So I'm creating a class, and I'm just putting it in the root, but I'd recommend putting in something like a tag helpers folder or organize it,
Makes sense.
And tag helpers can also be included in like a NuGet package, or they can be in a separate assembly, right? We just saw that in the imports. So you could create a Jeff's favorite tag helpers assembly and pull that in wherever.
Okay.
So I start by creating a class, and here's my class. So I'm going to inherit from tag helper. And I'm going to control dot to bring in the tag helpers, the
using
namespace
statement.
Up there. Yeah, the using statement. So the first thing I'm going to want to do is I want to repeat something a certain number of times. So I'm going to type create a property, and I'm using the snippet for properties, which I very much like. And so I'm using an integer here. Now, the next thing is I need to override one method that it's not that hard, and you'll find it in the docs, but I'll show you a little trick that I use here, which is you can go in, and if I do peak definition, which is a neat feature in Visual Studio, I'm going to scroll down here, and I'm going to look. There's a process async.
So what we're seeing in that window is...
This is the code for, this is the definition for the actual tag helper that we're extending.
The abstract class called tag
helper.
Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. So the tag helper abstract class has this process async method.
Okay.
So I'm looking at that declaration, and I'm going to use that as kind of the start of what I'm going to be writing. Right?
Makes sense.
So instead of virtual, I'm going to override. And I want to make this async. And the one other, now it's, the only thing it should be complaining at this point is that I'm not returning anything. So my step at this point is I'm just going to use a for loop. Mm. And because I'm repeating for a certain number of times, right?
Sure.
So again, here I'm going to say from 1 to count. And that's it. So now I need to actually write my code. And it should just be one line of code that I have to write. So I'm going to say...
And this code will generate the HTML.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the way this process async works is it gets called, it's an async method, and it just needs to output or change my content. So I'm going to say output dot, if I can spell output, dot, and then I'll say get, let me see, I'm forgetting actually which one it is, output.content, that's it. Append HTML. And there's some other things I can append. In this case, I'm doing append HTML, but I could do, for instance, like append format, and I could use a formatting method, right? And so now I need to say output dot, and I will say get child content async. The reason I'm doing that is my tag is going to work sort of like that environment tag we looked at earlier.
Okay.
So it's going to say everything inside of this tag, I need to get that content, and so this is how I'm accessing that.
Okay.
And then one other thing is I need to use an override here, and I'm going to say use cache result, and I'm going to say false. So
that's an async method. We need to await it. Right?
Oh, you're right.
Fantastic.
And I think we're all happy. Okay, so let's talk about this code we just wrote. So we wrote a repeat tag helper. So it's called repeat tag helper, and it inherits from the tag helper abstract base. Because of that, this is a repeat tag helper. I can go in and just start using repeat as a tag helper. We'll see that in a minute.
So repeat is my element name. It's the tag I'm going to use inside
exactly.
my code.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
And if I wanted to change attributes, there's actually attributes that I would use in here on my class to
okay.
do that. So then I've declared this count, and this is magically just going to appear. And the way it's going to come in is it's going to be an attribute on my tag helper in my razor.
Okay.
Okay? So the same thing that we had, like, for instance, in my register, I had ASP-4. Here I have count.
Okay.
So it's the same kind of thing. And then when it actually fires, this process async gets fired, it's going to be passed in both the context, so we could read things about, what's going on outside, as well as the output. My output lets me access the HTML, so I'm accessing what's my child content. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to say append that and just repeating, right?
Sure.
All right, so now let's go and put that to use. I'm going to go into my index view page. Old habits die hard. Mm. So now I'm going to go into my index, and I'm going to say repeat. Now something's wrong here, because that should be purple.
Yeah.
So I've forgotten one important thing, and you know what that is? I need to go into view imports. So that's
right.
That's the thing. We need to register that. And that's a very important cue. If you start using a tag helper and you're not seeing that IntelliSense, this is where you need to turn that on. So let me actually repeat. And I'm also not seeing any kind of IntelliSense in there. So let's go into this and let's try this. So we'll do add tag star comma. And here I need to use the assembly name. And so my assembly name is web application 24. Which, by the way, have you registered that yet? .com,
you know what?
.edu.
I'm sorry, I've been sliding here. I've been paying attention to the module.
So now, did you see what happened there? It just turned purple.
Nice.
And we see when we mouse over it. So now we know it's lit up. And so
sure.
So now I can go in, and also if I hit space, you see there, it's saying I have account property.
Okay.
So let's repeat, what's a good number?
Five.
I'm going to go six because I'm just doing one more today. Okay. And so we'll do here P tag. I will be repeat. Okay. Exciting. So now if we've done everything right, we will see at the top of our index view, we'll see I will be repeated and it'll say six times. Fingers crossed. But I'm feeling pretty good about it because that IntelliSense lit up.
It lit up. There we go.
There we go. So we'll see this here. I will be repeated. And for extra fun, let's, instead of putting it around that tag, let's actually repeat my carousel, my entire carousel. So I could do that by collapsing this div just to show that it's not just a simple P tag we're able to repeat. This will work on anything, right? So
that's a lot
I find this to be, you know, for a compelling, we want Web Application 24 to become a huge brand. And in order to do that, we really need a lot of carousels. So here you see that worked, right? So that's basically, we looked at in the box, in the box tag helpers. We wrote our own tag helper.
Yep.
It's helping our brand grow and
absolutely
gain mind share.
Lots
and market
of carousels.
Share. Yes. So now what I want to do is actually jump over and look at some tag helpers other people have written. Because
okay.
We saw writing our own tag helper is literally as simple as, you know, here.
Implementing a method.
Implementing a method, exactly.
Yeah.
And the other cool thing is because the way we pull it in to our application is just adding add tag helper and then this is an assembly name. Well, I can get assemblies off of NuGet. I can get assemblies, you know, I mean, this is not difficult to redistribute.
Sure.
So I want to show off just a few of my favorites. And one is from Damian Edwards, and it is the Tag Helper Pack. And this is something that Damian Edwards is PM for the ASP.NET team.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually built these tag helpers as these were things he kind of wished were in the box or thought, you know, as he's building applications, he's like, you know, here's some things I use in my websites.
Okay. Possibly opinionated, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Some of these I would expect to see actually ship in later versions of ASP.NET Core. So he's got, you know, example or information here on how to install it. He's actually got it on MyGet, which may move to NuGet eventually. So I click through and this is what I use to install it. This is his actual website and it explains some of the things he built.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to start by showing here he's got field and data annotation tag helpers. And this is kind of a neat thing here. This is actually, this starts to show an example of how this can become kind of useful. So here I've got a customer class and it is getting it's getting these label names off of these attributes,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm here. It says my display name. It could say first name, but I'm going to change this to say customer first name, right? And then I'm going to run this. And so what's going to happen is this tag helper's job is to get those. It's going to actually pull those labels off of these attributes. So if I look down here, we'll see there it says customer first name. Okay, so this is a way of customizing a label, how the label is generated. And in this case, it's actually pulling it off of the
Display attribute.
Display attribute, exactly. And those display attributes are handy for a lot of other things, like validation and all that kind of stuff. So he's got several others. One other thing that I really love and I use in a lot of places is his partial tag helper. And this is something where partials are a really kind of handy way of pulling, of abstracting code. So if I've got a bunch of code in one view and I want to kind of move it into another file, I can do that and I can reference it as a partial. So he makes it very easy to just say, instead of using it, there's another syntax for using it, this mm-hmm. where I could say at partial and I fill in some stuff. And it's just kind of like, it's not pretty. It's not, you know, it's not the code I want to like.
It puts you into into C sharp mode instead of HTML coding mode.
Exactly. And then one more kind of more advanced one that he's done is he's actually got a markdown tag helper. And so here you go in and you can write things in Markdown, and this Markdown tag helper compiles it into HTML. So all of these, in order to use these, he's got a handy sample project available. And if I go in and look at, you know, what is the source code for these, you'll see on my home view, he goes through and actually makes use of all these. So, you know, showing things like, you know, how to set these up. Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of handy. And so here, for instance, here's that partial tag. And you'll notice, again, it's got that purple, right? It lights up and shows how those work. Mm-hmm. So that's handy. Another one I want to show is a group of these from David Paquette. And David Paquette has built these really cool tag helpers to do some other neat stuff. So if we look at these, he's got tag helpers for things like Bootstrap. And so Bootstrap is nice, but there are some things where I've got to go and look up what are these different attributes.
Yeah.
And it's not auto-completed, and it's just like it gets me out of my zone, right?
If I'm not a whiz with Bootstrap, if I'm not using that on a daily basis, I might not know all the CSS
exactly
for that.
Yep. So here he's got a website. Both of these have, you can click off, and they've got kind of example websites that show how to set them up. So here's an example of something like an alert tag helper. So here, instead of going in and writing, you know, div class equals blah, 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 and look on the Get Bootstrap website, I can just do alert and then put the message name in. And then when I click on that, he's actually got, so here's the alert that it shows there, right? And so this shows the different kind of alerts that are available. Another one is a modal. So modal one is not, or, you know, another one actually, progress bar. Progress bars take a lot of markup, usually. You have to nest all this different stuff. And so here he's kind of generating that for you, right? Mm. One last one I wanted to show was the modal. So there it is. Here's a modal, and here's one where you can actually see something that's, you know, in action. You can.
So he's got a modal tag with a body and a title.
Yep.
Oh, that's easy.
Yep. So in order to do that, you know, this is simplifying. And again, I could go and do this if I go to getbootstrap.com. But the two things this kind of gives me that are handy. I'm gonna show the 3 version of this. The things that this kind of gives me is one, it's a little bit less markup, and two, I'll get that autocomplete, right? So I can go through and take advantage of that.
Absolutely. I mean, the IntelliSense that's embedded there in Visual Studio with that makes it so easy to find these features and get help when you need it.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the markup. You can just see, like, here's the kind of markup I would have needed for those progress bars versus, if we look at these progress bars, it's a one-liner, right?
So, oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah, so, and it's nice, it's easy to bind to and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's cool with these is if I want to learn how to write my own tag helpers, or if I want to write a tag helper similar to something someone else has already written.
Sure, maybe I want to extend their tag helper.
Exactly, so I can go in and look at either of these. So, for instance, if I look at David Paquette's, and we say, well, what is he doing with, for instance, these... like this modal or the progress bar, right? How is he generating that? So if I look at the progress bar tag helper, I can see, you know, here's what he's doing, how that's hooked up. So something I mentioned but didn't dig into earlier is he's actually extending a div. So here he's saying, this is called a progress bar tag helper, but it binds to a div, it modifies a div. And okay. So here's how he does that. He says, HTML target element, so this is going to light up for any HTML target element that uses these attributes, right? And then the actual thing where he, here, let me zoom back out, the actual implementation is that process async, and it's actually not that much code in order to do that. So,
and he's just writing out that div that's sitting there.
Exactly. So it's just that's how he's writing those out. And you know, I only showed off his Bootstrap ones. There are some others that he's got available here. He's got for authorization, for generating test data. He's also got a Markdown one. So that's kind of handy. And then if we look at the ones that Damien's done, for instance, it's surprisingly little code most of the time. Mm. So if I look at that partial, and this is doing something relatively, I would think, complex. It's calling a partial, it's including a partial. If we look at the actual code for that, there's like almost nothing here, right? So it's this process async like we looked at before. And this is all it's actually doing. It's just modifying the output to call in that partial.
Oh, it's calling the HTML helper directly.
Yep. So, you know, that's an example of something where I could write, like, it's like, oh, yeah, it makes sense. It's like,
absolutely.
Oh, he's just calling directly into the thing, you know? And if we look, so that's the, that's for the partial. If we look at his Markdown one, and that's, again, you know, you'd think, well, that's got to be complex. Well, he's using another Markdown helper to do this, and then he's actually just calling process async. So he's using Markdig here, which is a popular NuGet package that does Markdown processing.
Okay,
but that's really kind of all there is to it on those. So, you know, kind of wrapping up, you know, we looked at what tag helpers are.
Sure.
We showed when I do file new project, I've already got some tag helpers that are in my file new project application. If I never want to know anything more about it than that, they're making my life easier because I can go and write simpler Razor. You know, I can take advantage of things like, you know, forms and validation and all that, and pretty simple to wire things up. If I want to write my own, we saw that thing where I went in and I wrote my own, and if we look at what the code was involved for a repeat tag helper, like that's it. It's I just do process async and I modify my output.
Oh yeah.
And then we looked finally at, oh, and we remembered, and I'll just call it out again because this is something I forget and you may forget yourself. You got to call this add tag helper in your view imports.
Right.
You could call it in one individual view. I could put it just at, I could just import it for my index view or whatever, or I can do view imports here and import it everywhere.
That's a global import.
Global import, exactly.
Okay.
And then finally, we looked at how to make use of other people's tag helpers, and they've both made these available. And then for something like this, they'll show examples of here's how to use it. You know, you can install the package, you call add tag helper, and then go to town.
And you're off and running.
And
cool.
So the one final thing I want to remind people of is that there's some great documentation about this on docs.asp.net, or excuse me, docs.microsoft.com. And it used to be on ASP.NET. So this explains what they are, tells you how to write your own, shows how to take advantage of them.
So. It'll keep you up to date in the future as the technology evolves.
Exactly.
Cool.
All right.
Well, thanks a lot, and I hope you stick around for our next module.